This morning our lesson will be entitled Trust and Obey, and we'll be doing a song study. And tonight we'll be doing a sermon song based on this sermon here, Trust and Obey. You might turn to your book, number 915 is that song that we'll be looking at this morning, 915. Trust and Obey. It's important to trust and obey. We think about different situations and events in the scriptures. We know that Noah trusted and obeyed, didn't he? He was told to build an ark of gopher wood. We know that Abraham was told in Genesis chapter 12 to get thee up and get out of thy country from your father's house to a land that I will show you. He immediately got up and went. He was 75 when that occurred. Abraham was told to go offer Isaac, his own beloved son that he had received in his old age. He got up and went and offered him. He trusted and obeyed God, didn't he? We can go to Hebrews 11 if we're down and out and read those who trusted, read about those who trusted and obeyed God. For they by faith obeyed God and all the things that God told them to do. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, he said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Notice he said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. We might look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. This rings a bell because the psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the water, rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. See, he's describing those who are blessed because they trust in the Lord. Their hope is in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow, or strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. He's teaching that when we obey God, when we trust and obey God, we'll be blessed. Go back to Psalm chapter 1, beginning at verse 4 now. He contrasts those who don't trust and obey God. He said, the ungodly are not so. These are ones who don't trust and obey God, but are like the chaff with the wind, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but in the way of the ungodly it shall perish. So we see where he knows who trust and obey him. And we're blessed when we trust and obey him, aren't we? As we think about these passages of Scripture, we might also look at Philippians chapter 4. Now, Paul talked about being, that he'd learned to be content whatever state he was in. In verse 12 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, I know now how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I can do all things through the Lord which strengthens me, or through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we get strength when we trust and obey God. We don't have strength when we don't. See, that's the point. So the song we're familiar with. Trust and obey. Number 9, 15 in your books. Now, this song helps us to understand that to be saved, our trust of the Lord must be shown or demonstrated, be evident by obedience to Him in all things. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 89, concerning Jesus, though He were the Son of God, though He were a Son, he said, yet learned He obedience. He learned to obey God by the things that He suffered and being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey Him. Notice, we can be obedient like Jesus was, and we can be saved from our sins. Jesus obeyed the Father and provided the means whereby we can be saved through the shedding of His blood. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 has an interesting word. Reading from the New King James, he said, but God demonstrates His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved His love. He showed His love by doing that. So we need to trust and obey God, which demonstrates our love towards Him and our desire to be among His chosen ones by obeying His will. If we don't obey His will, we're not obeying His will. We're not trusting the Lord. Just as simple as that. See, the lyrics of the song were written in 1877 by John Henry Samuels, who was born in 1846 and died in 1919. The music of the song was composed in 1877 by Daniel Brink Towner. And he lived from 1850 to 1919, who was a close friend of Samuels. It said that Brother Towner was leading singing at a gospel effort, and he heard a young man give an answer to a question. I don't know what the question was, but the young man, who evidently was not real adept in the Scriptures, answered this question. He says, I'm not quite sure, whatever the question was, I don't know what it was. The young man said, I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. So Towner, having heard that expression, he jotted it down, sent it to John Henry Samuels, his close friend, and he penned the chorus of the song first, and then the other stanzas were developed afterwards, and the song was published in 1887. Been around a long time. But John Towner also composed music for other songs we're familiar with, such as At Calvary. We'll sing that tonight. That's on the list of songs to be sung. Grace Greater Than Our Sin, number 111 in our book. Anywhere with Jesus, number 414 in our book. Towner was the first head of the music department at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois. It's a little bit of background about that song. It's an old song. But the song emphasizes two things about our salvation. It emphasizes our faith or our trust in God. We must trust in God and not lean to our own understanding, the psalmist said. It illustrates our willingness and resolve to wholly submit to God's obedience. Just like those of old that we can read about in Hebrews 11 and go and research in the Old Testament Scriptures about their situation, the events surrounding that, we can see that they gave full obedience to God because of their great faith in God. Hence the chorus line, trust and obey, for there's no other way to the happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We see that chorus line throughout this song. But look at stanza 1 of this song. Stanza 1 teaches that Christ abides in those who trust and obey Him. It goes like this. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. See, if we trust and obey God, we will walk in the light with Him. John said in 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on, our hands have handled, referring to Jesus, the Word of life. He said, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen, we heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He said in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and deny the truth. But notice verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So verse 7 shows that if we trust and obey Him, we walk in the light of His Word. That's what that means. To trust and obey God means to fully yield to His will in all things. We'll also be cleansed and blessed by Him. Again, verse 7. So as we think about this text, we see that it shows that we can be cleansed through His Word. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul's talking about those who are blinded by error, and those under the old law, and those who do not remain true to God. But he said, but even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to God, the veil shall be taken away. Verse 16. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed the same image from the glory, even the glory of the Spirit of the Lord. So we see where we can bask in God's glory. We're changed to bask in God's glory when we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus and we walk according to His will. We give up everything that need to give up that we hold on to. Many wouldn't give up the Jewish baggage that they held on to. Paul said he gave all to be with Christ. Thus, Christ will abide with us because we abide in His Word. John teaches this over in reminds us of what Jesus taught in John chapter 8, verse 31. We see where Jesus taught in John chapter 8, verse 31, that we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. That is, if we yield His Word. So we have to be a disciple of His Word. We have to yield to His will. Jesus said this to those who believe on Him. He said, if you continue in My Word, then, there's one of those if-then statements, if you continue in My Word, then are you my disciples indeed? You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. We have to continue in His Word. It's not just when we feel like it, one day at a time. No, it's every day, all the time. We have to continue in His Word. Turn back over now to John 15, I referenced. Jesus talked about the vine, the branches. And He emphasizes abiding in Him. He said, I am the true vine. And My Father is a husband. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He said, now you're slain through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. The question, are we cleansed by anything else other than His word? No. We have to abide in His word. They were clean because they abode in His word. He says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, the more can ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, without me can do nothing. So the exception is, no, we must abide in him. That's an exception, isn't it? There are many exceptions in the scriptures. Jesus says you can't put your wife away except it be for fornication. There's an exception. We can only abide in him by continuing in his word. He said, except you abide in me, then you are mine, then you'll bring forth fruit. He said, for without me you can do nothing. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He gave the credit to Jesus. He said in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, a contrast, abiding in him and abiding not in him, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and the men gather him and cast him to the fire, and they are burned. Kind of similar to Psalm chapter 1, isn't it? He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, so ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so should you be my disciples. We have to abide in his word, which means we have to keep his commandments, verse 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We have to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, not our will. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. He abides with us while we do his good will. With all who will trust and obey. Stanza 2 teaches and says that those who trust and obey will have help from the Lord. Notice, he said, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. See, shadows and clouds are often used to represent various trials we go through in life. We've all been through various trials. Many are going through trials right now. But how are we going to get through that trial? Trust and obey. How did Jesus get through the trial that he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane? He trusted and obeyed. The only way we can get through the trials of life and come out a winner is to trust and obey God. James said, as a servant of God, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations or various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So trials of life strengthen us if we trust and obey. So the smile he speaks about can represent the compassion and grace he offers when we need it. We all need his compassion and forgiveness and grace, especially in various trials. It could be a trial of when we've committed sin. He said, we have not in the high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the Hebrew writer said concerning Jesus. He's one who can be. He said, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, or in full assurance that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. We do that when we trust and obey, for there's no other way. See, these expressions also in this verse help us to realize that even when we have doubts and fears, sighs and tears, We're promised by Him that if we walk in His way, He will bless us. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 3 through 5, he says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." In other words, God will bless us if we trust in Him. He said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give us the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Go back to Psalm chapter 1 with me. Go back to Psalm chapter 1. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." The psalmist says the same thing in verse 37. He says, "He shall dwell in the land, his delight," verse 4, "delight thyself also in the Lord." And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. That is, obey and trust Him. Psalm 115, verse 11. He says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." In other words, those that fear disobeying Him, fear displeasing Him. Those who have an awe of God, what do? They trust and obey Him. See, people who walk in their own ways, who just walk according to the course of this world, they don't fear God. They don't trust and obey Him. And the consequences they receive. Alright, that's stanza 2 now. 3, brother. Stanza 3. Stanza 3 says that those who trust and obey will be rewarded for their labor and toil. Notice he said, "Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Your brethren can be overcome. All Christians have burdens or loads to bear." In Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, beginning at verse 1, he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." He said in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens." It comes from the Greek word baros, which means figuratively a load to bear. Some weight. In the case of this, in this context, it's referring, I think, to the man in verse 1 who was caught in the fall. He fell in trespass. We're to help him. We're to help him turn from that. We're to bear with him on that. Then he goes on to say, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing," well, he said, you fulfill the law when you bear one another's burdens. Now, the law, the royal law is to love your neighbor as yourself. So we show love to our neighbor, our fellow man, when we try to help those who have sinned, and our own brothers too. Alright? But notice verse 3, it says, "For if a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." He says in verse 4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself." He said in verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." It's a different word there, a Greek word. Same word in the English, but different in the Greek. The Greek word is porentein, which means a task or service, or an invoice that needs to be paid as an invoice for freight. So I have to bear my own burdens. Some burdens you can't help me with. You can, if I sin, you can help me to realize I sin, but what do I have to do that you can't do for me? I have to repent, don't I? That's the burden I have to bear. I have to do the turning. I have to do the repenting. Two types of burdens there. But we all have burdens to bear, don't we? Is it not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil we just richly repay? See, God is not unjust to forgive and to repay us for what we do for Him. Notice verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 6. The writer said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." God remembers those things. Thus Christ will abide with us because we abide in His Word. Notice again John chapter 8, verse 31. He told the Jews that believed on Him. He said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So He doesn't forget us. He will never forget us or leave us. He will recompense us. He will repay us in the sense of salvation and blessedness. And the final reward, He'll reward us. Next we see in stanza 4, says that those who trust and obey are those who humbly submit to God. The song goes like this, "But we never can prove to the light of His love until all on the altar we lay." We can prove it, but it doesn't happen until all on the altar we lay. He said, For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, for them who will trust and obey. So it's possible to prove the light of His love when we offer ourselves. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, He said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable in the will of God." So how do we prove that God's will is good? By us doing it. By us trusting and obeying it. We prove ourselves by trusting and obeying God's will, don't we? Aren't we proven to be righteous by trusting and obeying God's will? The psalmist said in Psalm 4, verse 5, he says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." Psalm 4, verse 5, this is right there on the screen. But he said, we can never prove the delights of His love until on the altar we lay. It's interesting, in Genesis chapter 8, we have an illustration, I think. And so this can only be done when we trust and obey, which is symbolic of laying all our burdens, laying our all on the altar as sacrifices of the Old Testament were offered. Remember when Noah came out of the ark in Genesis chapter 8, verse 18. So Noah went out of the ark after he and all his house and those that were in the ark were saved from the flood. Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Notice what Noah did then. Verse 20, everybody. Turn your Bible to verse 20. Then, after they all went out of the ark, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal, of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. He laid it all on the altar. All the clean animals he laid on the altar. One of each. To honor and praise the Lord who had delivered them from the flood. Should we do that because the Lord has laid His life down for us? Shake your head, yes. We should, shouldn't we? Notice He said, for the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. We think about Noah. The Hebrew writer said, by faith Noah warned of God of things not seen, is yet moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, into which he condemned the world being and became heir of righteousness which is by faith. In the case of the ark, Noah, it says that he did all God commanded him. He trusted and obeyed. Didn't Noah know anything about shipbuilding? Was he a shipbuilder by trade? No. He was told to build an ark, how to go for it, and given the dimensions by God, and he built it. He trusted God and obeyed, didn't he? Shouldn't we trust and obey? My question, yeah. Why did Noah say, build an ark of gopher wood? I don't know. But because God said, build an ark of gopher wood, he built the ark of gopher wood. Do we trust God like that? Do we trust and obey him as Noah and all those in Hebrews 11 trusted and obeyed God? We have a record of that. See, the Lord's favor enjoys grant only to those who trust and obey the Lord's commandments. James said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, but he was called a friend of God. He said, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the message and sent them another way? He said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So our faith is dead if it doesn't obey. We have to trust God to do what he says to do. That shows that our trust and our faith is in God, and we'll be blessed by it, and joy will come to us if we do that. Stanza number 5. This stanza reminds us that those who trust and obey must continue to follow the Lord. It's not an on again, off again. It's not once in a while. It's not if I have time or if it's convenient for me. That's not how it works. But the song says, then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or I'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he says we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. We have in that first line of that stanza, sit at his feet. Remember Mary and Martha, the case of them? Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, the text is there, and now it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, or she was overcome, or distracted, you might say, about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answering and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. What part did Mary choose? To sit at Jesus' feet, to hear his teaching. That's the part, that was the good part. That was the opportunity. Mary cherished that opportunity. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. He said, which shall not be taken away from her. I'll just put it this way. Mary had her priorities right. Martha didn't. She was cumbered about much serving. We get cumbered about many things in this life, don't we? And Matthew chapter 6 teaches us not to be that way. He said we're to seek the kingdom of God first. Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, beginning of verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust have corrupted, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. What do we treasure in our heart? What did Martha treasure in her heart serving? That's a good thing to serve. You know, it's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But Mary treasures Jesus' teaching as more important. Do we see that principle? Does that make sense? That Mary chose the good part. He said Mary has chosen that good part. She sat at his feet, which symbolizes giving sober heeding to God's word and obedience to it. Then we have the expression to walk by his side in a way which symbolizes living a life of obedience to Christ. Now Paul emphasized that in Colossians chapter 2. We'll read a portion of only a portion of that chapter, but he says that ye therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, not easily taken away from it. We think about the parable of the sower. We see the four different soils represented. Out of the four, only one brought forth abundant fruit because it fell in honest and good heart. It was deeply rooted. Represents those who are deeply established in the faith. They're rooted, built up in him, strengthened in him. Paul said, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, and thankfulness for thanksgiving. They were thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to trust and obey and be thankful for all the things that God has given to us and demonstrated to us by his love for us. But notice, if we do what he says and go where he sends to remain saved, we must also be like Israel's soul to keep his commandments, and we'll be a special people or treasure to him. Peter uses the term peculiar people, special people. But in Exodus chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, Moses said, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They were departed from Rephidim and came to the desert of Sinai and pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain and saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, they shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. It shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. He told them what to tell them. He told them, but did they follow that? They didn't follow, did they? They moaned and complained and murmured and griped, and the whole generation died in the wilderness because of that, because of their murmuring. Don't let us be like that. May we trust and obey. See, the chorus reminds us of the truth and the need to trust in the Lord and obey His will. It says, trust and obey. There's the chorus. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. See, the joy of salvation God made possible by the death of the Son is available to all. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 again, he said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedient for the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the object of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He said in chapter 2, verse 10, he said, for it became him, referring to Jesus, of whom were all things, by whom all things I bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. this joy of salvation is made possible to all men. But it's conditioned on those who trust and obey, see? On those who trust and obey. That's a lesson here anyway, subject to the Lord's invitation. I encourage you to trust and obey God in all things. We'll talk about this song more tonight. We'll sing songs related to this lesson. As we look at the song, Trust and Obey, the song study tonight. But alien sinners must hear God's word, the gospel. They must believe it, as John records Jesus saying, he said, if you're there, if you, you'll die in your sins. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. We must repent of our sins in our life. Jesus taught men to repent. He said, repent or perish. Paul said, the times of ignorance, God winked at, commanded all men everywhere to repent. Doesn't leave out anybody. We must confess Christ. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven, he said. We must be baptized in the Christ and have our sins washed away, like Ananias was told in Acts 22, verse 16, to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling in the name of the Lord. We do err at times. We need to go to the throne of grace, and in order to expect to receive the crown of life that John talked about in Revelation 2, verse 10, we must trust and obey at all times. During the way, subject to the Lord's invitation, urge that you come as together we stand and sing.